Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Wednesday, April 20th, to welcome you to the podcast. I am reading today from the New International Version. We pick up in Exodus and the laws of justice and mercy, and my study Bible reminded me that many of the laws in this section today are in reference to the ninth commandment. Do you know what the ninth commandment is off the top of your head? Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. And then we'll read Psalm 119, verses 1 through 24. But as you may remember, if you've been doing this with us for a while, Psalm 119 is a very, very long psalm. So we're going to split it up over several days. And then we'll read Romans chapter 11, verses 11 through 24. Exodus 23, beginning in verse 1. Laws of justice and mercy. Do not spread false reports. Do not help a guilty person by being a malicious witness. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd. And do not show favoritism to a poor person in a lawsuit. If you come across your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to return it. If you see the donkey of someone who hates you fallen down under its load, do not leave it there. Be sure you help them with it. Do not deny justice to your poor people in their lawsuits. Have nothing to do with a false charge, and do not put an innocent or honest person to death. For I will not acquit the guilty. Do not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds those who see and twists the words of the innocent. Do not oppress a foreigner. You yourselves know how it feels to be foreigners, because you were foreigners in Egypt. And then this section is about the Sabbath laws. Do you know which command is honor the Sabbath and keep it holy? It is the fourth command. And I'll tell you how I remember that. It's because of Jen Wilkins Bible study, but honestly, because of something she taught me years ago when I saw her speak at a conference. There is a homeschool mom who has come up with these hand signals. And y'all know I love some hand signals for all of the Ten Commandments. If you want a link to that article, I'll send it to you. But the fourth command, imagine with me four fingers, so the pinky all the way through the pointer finger are upright, and then your little thumb is laying down on the palm of your hand, kind of like it's resting. And on the Sabbath, we don't do any work. I'm not sure if that translates over the airways, but I wish you could see a picture of the hand I'm holding up right now. I digress. These are Sabbath laws, starting in verse 10. For 6 years, you are to sow your fields and harvest the crops. But during the seventh year, let the land lie unplowed and unused. Then the poor among your people may go and get food from it, and the wild animals may eat what is left. Do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and so that the slave born in your household and the foreigner living among you may be refreshed. Be careful to do everything I have said to you. Do not invoke the names of other gods. Do not let them be heard on your lips. And then this is a section talking about the three annual festivals. 3 times a year you are to celebrate a festival to me. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread. For 7 days eat bread made without yeast, as I commanded you. Do this at the appointed time in the month of Aviv, for in that month you came out of Egypt. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. Celebrate the festival of harvest with the first fruits of the crops you sow in your land. Do this at the appointed time in the month of Aviv, for in that month you came out of Egypt. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. Celebrate the festival of harvest with the first fruits of the crops you sow in your field. Celebrate the festival of ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in your crops from the field. 3 times a year, all the men are to appear before the sovereign Lord. Do not offer the blood of a sacrifice to me along with anything containing yeast. The fat of my festival offering must not be kept until morning. Bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. Do not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. And now let's move over to the Psalms, Psalm 119. Aleph. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame. When I consider all of your commands, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Bet. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Gimel. Be good to your servant while I live, that I may obey your word. Open my eyes that I might see wonderful things in your law. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. You rebuke the arrogant who are accursed, those who stray from your commands. Remove from me their scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. Today in the New Testament, we're reading Romans chapter 11, verses 11 through 24. Engrafted branches. Again, I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgression means riches for the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their full inclusion bring? I am talking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I take pride in my ministry, in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection brought reconciliation to the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not consider yourself to be superior to those other branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but tremble. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God, sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. If they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut off of an olive tree that is wild by nature, and contrary to nature were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Thanks for listening along as we read God's Word together. I wanted to read my study Bible note on this passage as it relates to the wild olive branches that were grafted in. It says, Paul recognized that such grafting was not commonly practiced. The inclusion of Gentiles into the family of God is contrary to nature. Obviously, the reasoning in this verse is more theological than horticultural. It would be difficult horticulturally to graft broken branches back into the parent tree, but the Jews really belong, it says historically and theologically, to the parent tree. Thus, they will be much more readily grafted into their own olive tree. I think that what Paul's saying here is they have the law and the prophets. They know from the Old Testament the ways of the Lord. They can see the character of God on display. And so if the Jews will by faith believe in the one who has come to be the Messiah, they could be a force for the kingdom come. And so it just encourages me to pray for those around me who do not follow Christ, especially my Jewish brothers and sisters today. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your kindness and for your sternness. Thank you, Lord, that justice and mercy are met at a wonderful combination in you. You are full of love and grace, and yet you bring justice and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for our Jewish brothers and sisters. We call out the names of those that are our friends and ask, Lord, that you would bring them to full knowledge of Jesus as Messiah. We thank you, Lord, for the reminders in Psalm 119, our namesake for this project, that your word is a source of life for us, and it is the source of wisdom. It is where we find what you are like, and it is a reminder daily that we are dependent upon you. Thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you are trustworthy and you are the way, the truth, and the life. We praise you for all the many blessings that you have bestowed. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be a blessing to those around us. All these things we asked in Christ's name. Amen.